Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'd like to welcome you once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we thank you for taking the time to join us on this hour. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. If you would like to join on Zoom, you can go to Zoom and you can be a part as well. And the Zoom number is 505. What is the Zoom number? For the blog, 505, and I should have had that out already. Dr. Suzanne, what is the Zoom number? It's, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 505. Zoom number is 505-563-6808, and you will type in Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-M, 23, if you would like to join us on Zoom. We'd also inform you that you can also go at the end of this message and listen to it and share it with a friend. Be a blessing, a man spreading the gospel, amen, to those that you know and those that you do not know. Go into Blog Talk Radio and type in We Can Begin Again. Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can listen to this message and share it with a friend. Amen. I do remember at times, you know, we used to listen to music together. Amen. Why not share the Word of God with someone? Amen. And allow it to be a blessing to someone's spirit. But we're going to move forward as we move on. We have Reverend Maddie Hutchison, who is on this evening, and Suzanne will introduce her at this time. Okay, I think I have you on mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I have
you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Yes. Good, good, good. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us this evening on Blog Talk. We welcome you, and I thank you. My good friend, I have the privilege of introducing my good friend, longtime friend. We've been friends for over 30 years, almost 40 years.
Yeah.
She is a wonderful woman of God. Her name is Maddie Hutchison. She is Reverend Maddie Hutchison. She's a minister. Right. We have been in Bible study together. She's a Bible scholar. She has studied and shown herself to be definitely worthy, definitely equipped to teach, to preach. She is has the gift of hospitality, the awesome gift of hospitality. Everybody doesn't have that. She has a heart, a caring heart for those who are hurting and for those that are downtrodden, poor. She's a prayer intercessor, a prayer warrior. Maddie's one of the first people I call when I need somebody to go to the throne for me. And she's a missionary. She has been, she's actually, I would call her a global missionary. She's been all over the world spreading the word and ministering to people.
Amen.
So I want to introduce and share my friend, Reverend Maddie Hutchison, with you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Well,
Maddie, you're on.
Yes, all right. Good evening, everyone. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you again this evening. I would like to thank the Clays for inviting me to speak to you tonight. I would like to talk to you tonight on the subject of being anxious for nothing. How many of you want to be happy? We live our lives searching for that next big thing, to be famous in some kind of way or be known in some kind of way. We want to live the life of luxury, a long life, pursuit, spending money, collecting things and stuff, and searching for all kinds of experiences. But If happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when things don't work out? Failed marriages, children want nothing to do with what you think is best for them. They are having no part of what you want. The job didn't work out. Many times happiness flees and despair sets in. In contrast to happiness, stand joy. Paul's letter here to the Philippian believers, he writes to encourage them in their faith. I just want to go through the chapters leading up to my text. My text is coming out of the fourth chapter where Paul tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But when I look at the letter, these first three chapters, he's talking about serving and the Philippian believers. He wanted to encourage them in their faith and to thank them for the gift that they had sent him and to strengthen them in the fact that joy comes from Jesus alone. We can look for joy in everything that you can imagine, but joy only comes from Jesus. Joy runs deep and stronger. Joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives. And he will be there no matter what. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Happiness, however, depends upon what's happening, but joy depends on Christ. Philippians was Paul's joy letter. Now, Paul is writing this letter from prison. He is behind prison walls. It's not like he's in a good place, but he said that he has learned how to be abased and how to abound. When he didn't have anything, he knew how to live. When he had much, he knew how to live. So he's telling us from experience how to live this Christian life and be able to navigate and stay in the race. Paul is writing to the believers. Again, we're talking about from behind bars. In the first chapter he shares, he said, joy in serving. He wanted to write to them, let them know that even though he was in prison, he could still live in the fullness of joy despite those things that he was going through. He always made mention of the fact that he prays for them all the time. He says, for me, this is what he says in that chapter, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, that's powerful. That is powerful. Paul had been called to the Gentiles, to the Jews. Yes. Chapter 2, the theme is joy in serving. Again, we said that. Joy in serving others. Okay. Then he says that we are to... Okay. He encourages them to be Christ-like. He said to let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians, Jesus didn't think of himself as being higher than, he found himself to be equal, not robbery, to be equal with his Father. You know, and so he's telling us that, you know, we many Christians live, many people as well as Christians live only to make impressions on others or to please themselves. However, Paul stresses a unity, a spiritual unity. He asks the Philippians to love one another and to be in spirit and purpose, one in spirit and purpose. When we work together caring for the problems of others, we care for them as if it is our own. We demonstrate Christ's example of putting others first. We experience unity when we come together like this. So we don't think of ourselves as being any higher than anyone else. and everyone is our brother and sister, and anyone that needs help, we help. And then that joy, that unity comes when we are all doing those things that God has called us to do, to love
Amen.
On others. Chapter 3 is the joy of believing. That's our life goal. Here, he puts all the emphasis on Christ, not in our flesh. You know, we often think that our flesh is, you know, it's the status, it's all about us and all about what we can get and what we can have, but it's more mm-hmm. to it than that. The
yeah.
joy is believing in Christ and the salvation that he has bore for us. He said he was the propitiation for our sins. And so when we think about that, our goal in life and think the joy of believing that supersedes all the other things. It really does. The Bible is our safeguard, both morally and theologically. It alerts us to make corrections we need to make in our thoughts and our attitudes and actions. He warns them of the Judaizers. The Judaizers were God's people that they were Jews. They God had given them his word, his oracles, and they were to go and evangelize the world. We look at Abraham, who he had, God had made that covenant with, and they were to evangelize the world. So they thought that because God had chosen them, that they were special, and they were in their own right. But however, they didn't do that. They still haven't done it. So because of their failure to do what should have been done, salvation was offered to everyone, everyone. And so
Amen.
They think here, oh well, we're so much more. You know, we have this privilege and everything. And they wanted them to observe. And what they really wanted the Gentiles to do was to follow the Old Testament Jewish laws in order to obtain salvation. They wanted to add something else to this. And Paul says, no. We can't add anything to this. It's Christ alone, not and Christ and this and the law, but Christ alone. Paul
That's
tells
good.
Them to leave the law and press on to know Jesus Christ. He tells them to rejoice in the Lord. He says that quite a few times. The principle of being able to rejoice in the Lord was his focus for this letter. Under the law, the Judaizers wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised in order to have the fullness of the gospel and the privilege of the law of Moses. Paul didn't see this, again, didn't see it as being anything noble as want to do, but the Judaizers, again, they're trying to add something and another requirement. But to my knowledge, there is no other requirement to salvation other than us receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There is none. Paul goes on to define circumcision. He said, for we are circumcision. We worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, Paul says. He said, if anyone should have some confidence, I should. Because Paul was a Roman. He was well-to-do. He studied under Gamaliel. And he had all the rights and privileges as a Roman citizen. So he thought, he said, you know, I could be all of that in a bag of chips, but I don't use that as a cloak to lord over people. He said God has chosen him to go to carry his gospel to the Gentiles and the Jews. Paul says he and his followers were the true circumcised worshipers of God in the spirit, as opposed to the fleshly worship and external worship emphasized by these legalists. They were legalistic. They did everything by the letter. They observed all the laws, and they thought that when they went into the synagogue and walked the streets, everybody looked to them because they were legalistic. They had all of this going on for them. But Paul goes on to tell us that a Jew inwardly and circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not a man but of God. Gentiles' joy is not found in their ability or by keeping the law. Jesus alone is their joy. And when I say Gentile, Gentiles is anyone other than a Jew. Remember, God gave the oracles and laws to the Jews first. And then after they rejected and didn't want to accept Jesus as Messiah because they were looking for this king that was going to come and set up a throne and overthrow the Roman government, he didn't fit any of that, so they didn't see him as being Messiah. So they thought, okay, so we're not, you know, we can't buy this. So God went to the Gentiles. Oh, we were adopted and grafted in because of their rejection. In the fourth chapter is where the joy of giving. My text tonight, again, I want to peace and joy to be in all circumstances. We can have peace and we can have joy in spite of anything that's going, whatever is going on in our lives, we can still have joy and peace. And I have a situation right now in my life that is life-threatening, life-changing, and I still have peace with God. I trust him. It's nothing that I can do. But I know that I can trust God because the walk of the believer is a faith walk. It's not about what we see, what we feel, but what we know to be the will of God. Here Paul gives them a general exhortation in light of your destiny in Christ to be steadfast. This passage starts with, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in the way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. He's urging them to live in harmony with the Lord. He calls Euda and Cynthius he calls them his true companions and asks that they help Clement and also the rest of his workers whose names are written in the book of life. That's that book where all of our names are written. Those who have accepted Christ, he has a book where your name is written in it. And he says again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to God. My focus here is that our prayer life. Don't be anxious for anything, Paul says. Don't be anxious for anything. There's no reason for us to be anxious. God said he knows what we have need of before we ask, but he said that we could ask and we would receive by asking. But if we never ask, we never get received. You know, James says that we have not because we ask not. So a lot of the prayers are not answered because they are never prayed. So here he said, but in prayer and in supplication, make our requests known. Paul stressed everything. So there's no thing that is too small or too tough or too hard for God to handle. We often don't pray for certain things because we think that those things are not important to God. We are ashamed to admit our shortcomings. We try our best not to murmur and complain, but we do it. We do it most times. And you know that I found out that when we murmur and complain about our situation, that's really a threat and a sin toward God because that's telling him that we're not trusting him. We are so caught up with our circumstances that we start to murmur and complain. Why? Because we feel that it is in our flesh, because we don't have the capacity to do it. We're irritated and agitated because we haven't taken it to the throne. We haven't taken it to God. So we feel that, oh, I got to do something. It all rests on me. But none of it does. When we're in Christ, it all rests on him. He said, come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we can bring anything. Nothing is too heavy for him to handle. Instead of complaining, Paul said to rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. If we find, instead of complaining, if we just look and thought about what we do have instead of what we don't have, we would have a lot of things to be thankful for. We would have more reasons to rejoice in the Lord. I did a study recently, a little book from Joyce Myers called Attitude of Thankfulness and Gratitude. But she names just some very simple things that can give us the attitude that we should have. Just being grateful for the little things. We think of, oh, I found a pair of shoes on sale. Oh, but you complain. Well, they are this and they are that. I bought them on sale and they weren't. Here we go again. We're complaining. Take what you know. Look at that as being a blessing. I remember once I was to get a check, and I had been quoted. Oh, I was going to get all of this money. When I got it, it was nowhere near what to receive. And immediately I started to complain about it. And the Lord reminded me that be thankful that you do, that you have something. Might not have been what I wanted, but I certainly have more than I had, right? But we want to complain. We find reasons to complain. And I had to repent right away. And I've adapted this little slogan. I claim crop failure on every word that I speak that does not line up with the word of God, because I don't want that to come back on me, because the words that we speak have power. It has power. And so when we murmur and complain, we're only hurting ourselves. So we must be intentional about our rejoicing. We as Christians are called to a life of prayer. It is our most intimate expression of the Christian life. But why do so many of us neglect it? If we look at Jesus, prayer was a high priority in his life. In the Gospel of Mark, he writes, Mark chapter 1, verse 35 states that very early in the morning would Jesus rise up and he would go to a solitary place. He would leave his home, wherever he was, just to be alone with the Lord. How many of us are willing to leave home in the morning just to find a place to be alone with the Lord? We don't have to. We could go in another room. If we got up early enough, I know at my house, if I'm up early enough, there's nobody up. I'm the only person that's up. So it's my quiet time. It's the best time for me in my prayer life is early morning. Here, supplication, however, is directly asking God for something. Paul said in prayer and supplication. Many prayers are not answered because, again, we don't ask. Scripture tells us to ask and believe that we receive what we ask for. In Mark 11, 22 through 24, he says, ask and you shall receive. Believe. He said, if you ask and believe in your heart and don't doubt, you should have what you say, what you say. And again, we got to watch what we are saying. What are we saying? The scripture also in Proverbs tells us, thou art snared by the words of our mouth. What are we saying? We can pray and then negate it on the next breath by speaking negative or words that opposes what you just prayed. We can't. we must, he said, to make our request known. He said that we can ask, even though God knows what we need before we ask it, we ask anyway. So when we ask, he says, we receive. Because we are thankful for even the small things, you know, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes on and says, finally, brethren, he states, whatsoever is lovely, what's pure, what's honorable, what's right, what's good, of good report, what is excellent, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Here, Paul has given us 9 things to think on so that we are not anxious about anything. And I love this verse, this passage, because it was a while back that I realized that when we quote this verse 6 here, and leave off the next few verses, we actually lose the what Paul is trying to bring home to us. He says that the peace of God will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. We have the peace of God when we think on these things, these 9 things that I'm talking about. He says we are to think on things that are true. What is true anymore? You know, we know the word of God is true. We know that. But the world does not speak truth. Everywhere you look, there are lies rather than truth being spoken. So if we think on those things that are true, so if we're speaking God's word, we know that that's true. We know that's true. That's a good place to start and not allow our minds to wander and run away with us by speaking negative things, things that we are speaking. Sometimes we are worrying and speaking about things that will probably never happen. But because we spend so much time speaking it and hearing it, it becomes so much a part of us, we can't get loose from it. But if we focus our minds on the peace of God, then we can get through. He says that we are to think about things that are honorable, things that are honorable, things that are good, that are of good report, things that would bring honor and pleasure to anyone, that would edify. Those are the things that we are to think on. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians that Paul talks about. He said, we cast down imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? We cast it down because if we don't, if we are dwelling on the negativity in our lives and what's going on, we will never have the peace of God. We will never have it. Here again, Paul goes on to say, we are to think on things that are pure. And I think when I think of things that are pure, holy things, godly things, things that are righteous, that's what I think on, the peace of God, everything that God has promised us. And he said we are to be holy as he is holy. When we put our minds on those things, we can have the peace of God. Things that are lovely, lovely, woo, things that make us feel good, things that are easily intrigued and brings joy to our hearts, maybe our grandchildren, our children, our husbands or our wives, lovely things, things that are lovely, things that are important to us, that are more important than the negativity that we see the world offers. The world offers nothing but confusion and fear. Most of the time, that's all we see and that's all you hear. And if we fill our lives with this every day, day in and day out, we cannot have the peace of God. Here again, he says, number 7, things that are good report. What thing's a good report? Good report was when I got the diagnosis that I was healed from the cancer that God had healed me of. That's a good report for me. That's a good report. A good report is that I got up this morning and I wasn't in pain. Thank God for that. I got up this morning and I had food to eat. I was able to even get out of my bed without pain. That's a good report. I think on those things and thank God for them. Be thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he said anything, number eight is anything that is excellent. What's excellent? What's excellent? The things of God, the things that edify, the things that add to our person, that doesn't take away, that I am loved and I'm accepted by God. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm intelligent. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm his beloved, and he has loved me with an everlasting love, and I have audience with him. All these things, it's so many things that we could think on rather than thinking on the negativity or what's happening in our lives, the circumstances in our lives. I tell you what, I find that the more I have heeded to what Paul is saying here, he says, he goes on to say, whatever's praiseworthy. What's praiseworthy? God is praiseworthy. Lord, you said you have given me long life. You said that you would heal me of all of my diseases. Lord, you said that you would, my seed would be delivered, Lord God. You said that I would be I'm destined. Everything that I put my hand to do will prosper, Lord God. These are the kind of things I think on. Rather than, I guarantee you, if I could do anything about the situation that I'm in right now, it would have been done. Trust me, it would have been done. I call myself the bus driver. I used to, because I could fix it. If it was broke, I'm going to work to see what I can do to fix it. But I've learned that in order to have the peace of God, I have to relinquish my rights, even to my own children, my family, and whatever they're going through. I have to give those things to him and focus on these nine things that he has stated here. And Paul states that all these things that you have learned about Jesus and received and heard and seen in me, in him, Paul, practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. I didn't mention there are two types of peace. The peace with God is when we repent of our sins and we come to know him as Lord. The peace of God is when we take these attitudes here and we think on them versus our circumstances. And if we focus on him and not our circumstances, we are not anxious for anything. We're not anxious. And I have over, and I'm bragging on God because it certainly isn't me, because I've seen the time that I was shut down, wouldn't be able to eat, wouldn't be able to sleep or anything if something happened, because I start to think, oh, my God, what if this happened? What if this happened? Oh, woe is me. But I've learned that the peace of God that passeth all understanding guards my heart and minds in Christ Jesus, because I have intentionally chosen to focus on whatsoever is honest, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report, excellent, and anything that is worthy of praise. I choose to focus on those things. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That is the end of my teaching, but I wanted to share that with you because it has brought such joy to my life, and I just want to share it with others because I have never in my 72 years of life had the peace that I have now in God. Never, never.
Amen.
It is only because I have taken the principles that Paul has put forth in this letter and applied it to my life. Amen. Are there any questions, any concerns or comments from anyone?
All mics are open.
No, Pastor, you made it quite clear and plain. This is good. And I like what you said. You chose to focus on those things that are lovely and good, of good report. You chose.
Yes.
We have a choice. You know,
we do.
That's the power of free will. And what you said right there, everything that you said, I didn't know I was on mute, because when you were talking about cancer and different things, I was praising God. I was praising God.
Listen, I continue to share that praise report with everyone I meet, because it has kept me.
Mm-hmm.
God has really kept me. And I never thought in my life, you know, that I would be facing cancer, praying for other people, you know, for their healings. And I'm here. I am with cancer. And God tells me that, oh, I say, well, Lord, you could have healed me, and I didn't have to go through the chemo. I didn't have to go through the pain of all of it. But, you know, he said it's a process, and the process is where I learned to trust him, through the process. Through the process. Yes,
I
and so do you, yes, it's just.
It's wonderful, you know, the things that we go through, and I don't know what it is to have cancer, but if in fact that ever comes to be my lot, you know, I would say that the choice to believe God, no matter what it looks like.
No matter what,
No matter what, because he's the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the one that can make the impossible possible.
Yeah,
because our trust is in him. And to hear you say that, sis, let me tell you something. It might not always be easy, but it's necessary, because he brought you out to bring you in. He brought you to a place that not only tested and proven, you tested and proven his faithfulness towards you. And then you have given us the testimony that he will. Trust him and focus on those things that are lovely, which is his word, that he will heal. I'm telling you, this was a wonderful, wonderful lesson. You said so many things, and I don't want to take up all the air and saying what I'm saying, but I want to say that thank you, because you encouraged me today. I appreciate you. Dr. Suzanne? You got a good friend right there, sis. That's a great friend. And hospitality, yes. When we can show the love and the hospitality of Christ, I'm telling you, he has us. He only has us. He has us. I mean, he can make the rocks fly out. He can make a jackass say this, that, and other. But we have his image. And when we go like you're going, sis, I'm telling you, Pastor, I commend you. I honor what God is doing in your life. And I'm so glad that you came to the line today. I'm going to listen to this message again, because I don't know what's around the corner for me. But I do know this. Your testimony and this word today has encouraged my soul. God bless you, sir.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Is there another?
Okay, y'all, come on. This was good. Come on, y'all.
I could do all the talking, but I'm trying to give you all the chance to reflect or comment on anything that you didn't understand, or maybe I needed to repeat or something for you. I don't know. But I can say this while someone is preparing to say what they want to say, that everything that I have gone through, and I've gone through a lot over my years, God is, he He has used every bit of it to make me who I am today. You know, we don't like adversities. We don't like suffering. We want everything perfect in our lives. But, you know, Jesus was a suffering servant. He said that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him.
Yeah.
See, we don't want to talk about suffering. I don't want to suffer any more than anybody. I know nobody does. But our life is so rich. The only way we learn is through our trials and our tests. When we are being blessed, Lord, bless me, and I'm doing this and doing that, we don't learn a whole lot. But it's through those adversity. James say it's through the trials that we learn. That we learn and we can appreciate God, you know, because we can look back and say, oh, yes, I see where his fingerprint was right there at that time. And I got through this because of that. Amen. Anyone else?
Reverend Maddie, I would like to commend you on your tip. There are a few numbers that I see here. I know that are going through some challenging times also, but they are muting themselves, but that's okay. But it becomes a testimony when others hear the adversity that someone else is going through and God brought them through. See, oftentimes, we worry about situations. We worry about circumstances. And you have just outlined that when we don't worry and we focus on what God, the plan that God has given us, that we're able to overcome those circumstances and obstacles that we're going through. This is a beautiful testimony. It is a beautiful testimony. It is powerful, enriching, you know, and it inspires those who are going through challenges to continue going. You never know what anyone is going through.
No, you don't. You really don't.
They're going through the obstacles, but you never know what they're going through in terms of trying to deal with whatever that's going on, you know, with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we serve as a duty of letting others know that that you made it through. God helped make, you know, get you through it, and he can help them as well. I also know that those who want to listen to the archives, it just becomes a blessing. It's a powerful testimony. And when God blesses us and when we keep that blessing to ourselves, that's something we need to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
We need to watch
out,
you know, especially when we don't want to share it with others and letting others know. God wants to glory. God wants glory.
The word tells us that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Our testimony. See, when we hear it coming out of our mouths and we are thanking God and it gives life to others, that if he could bring me through cancer, he can do it for you as well. He will.
Amen.
And he said he would deliver us out of all of our troubles. I believe what he said. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe it. Yeah.
You have to believe.
So you got to believe. I mean, we can talk all day about what we believe, what James say, faith without works is dead. You can say you have that faith, but you need to work on it. Say, hey, so show me faith without works, he says. And I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Show me without faith, without work.
Amen.
You got. You know. You're gonna. He talks about the joy of serving. We serve because we serve a God by serving others. So anytime I'm doing something to help somebody, don't look at it as just being that I'm doing it just for them. You are honoring God. You are honoring God. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said, mm-hmm. you do the same. That means we go and serve. We go and wash the feet and do whatever, the meager jobs, whatever's necessary to bless another. That's Christ-like. That's mm-hmm. that's worth rejoicing in mm-hmm. right there. You know, that's Paul, good. In all that Paul went through, I mean, Paul was in prison now. He was in prison writing to encourage us.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even talk about all the things that he had gone through.
Going through. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. still he was in the midst of it. He wasn't, he was on his way to trial.
Mm-hmm.
locked up. I don't know how many years he was locked up, but he wrote those letters from prison. And then we talk about our circumstances. You know, yeah, our circumstances, I guess, is nothing. But when we think that, you know, and I think maybe most of us thought this, and I think I truly did. When I first got saved, I thought that everything was going to be perfect once I accepted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I just knew I was going to have this life.
Yeah.
I got a life. I'm living the best life I ever lived right now. But I didn't know that life came with pain. That pain was going to still be there. But because of Jesus, I'm still here. Because he was with me in the pain.
Yeah.
And I just ask you all to pray tonight for yeah. my granddaughter, who is, her fiance is on life support right now, but the family has made the decision to take the life support away. He's only 30 years.
Oh, my.
But I trust God. I believe. I do. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe God. I still believe in God. I still believe in God. It's not over yet. Not over. And I have to stay focused, keep my mind stayed on him and not the circumstance. Because he's greater than any of that. He's greater. He has the power. He created that body.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's his. Mm. And I remind him all the time, Lord, you said you'd have mercy on who you have mercy. Lord, have mercy tonight. Have mercy, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I'm
going
to pray. Dr. Suzanne, did you want to make a comment? You can close us out. Or in fact, mm-hmm. Dr. Suzanne, what did you please pray?
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Amen. But to young believers, and I'm so glad that my husband spoke up, because oftentimes when women minister, people assume that the ministry is only for women. But I trust both males that have listened have received as well. And when my husband spoke up that way, yes, it was a confirmation, and I. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the example that you, for all of us that are from, we appreciate that. We thank you, Lord, for honoring the Lord's call this evening. Mm. We thank you for being open and available to New Beginnings Ministry this evening as well, and answering our telephone call. We thank you for that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we praise your name, and we thank you, Lord, for the ministry that is forth this evening, this year, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord. The word has been sown, Father God. We know, Father God, that your word will come back void. So all
thank
those
you,
who listen tonight, but all those, Father God, that will listen to the to the archives, Father God, all those who we share the message with, Father God, who we share the gospel with, Father God. We thank you, dear Lord, that they would receive it, Father God, that seeds are being planted, Father God, and there will be a harvest.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement for this evening, Father God, about how to go through, Father God, and how to wait on you, dear Lord, about how to Christ. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the message that's gone forth. We thank you, Father God, that you would continue to use my sister, Father God, that you would bless her family, bless her coming and going, rising her lying down. Bless her household, God, that there be no need, Father God, that all of her needs and wants are even said in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, also for a special blessing for Julius, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to put the room where he is right now, Father God, and envelop him.
Yes,
let there be a message that comes forth, Father God, that the doctors are amazing, God, that the doctors have questions about this crisis. That her granddaughter, Father God, is watching and listening, Father God.
Yes.
That the granddaughter, Father God, the daughters, Father God, the family of Julius, Father God, they're also watching and listening, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you will show yourself, just show out. We've seen it before.
Yes.
Daddy has seen it firsthand.
Thank you,
know,
Father.
Say
regardless
that you, Father God, you're the maker.
Yes.
You're the one that,
hallelujah.
You're the one that created.
Yes.
That we were creatively imprinted in our mother's womb.
Thank you,
Father God, by your hands, dear Lord.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father God, that there'll be that Maddie will have a praise report to share with us next week, Father God. Forward to just celebrating with her, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that your will be done.
Your will, Father.
That your will.
Lord. Yes.
Not listen to the doctors, to people that think that they have a choice.
Yes.
In the matter. That is in your hands.
It's in your hands.
And we pray. In Jesus' name we thank you. In Jesus' name we rejoice.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
What is Julia's last name, may I?
His last name is McQueen.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, and there are children involved. There six children here that are they loved him dearly, and it's just we are going to go as I leave here now, leave you guys. We're going to go and tell the children about, you know, what's going on. They think that he's just sleeping, so we're going to have to let them know what's going on. We haven't shared it with them yet. So, but God is mighty. He's gonna work it all out.
Yes. We'll be praying with you.
Jesus, your Lord, thank you.
Well, Reverend Maddie, thank you so much. Even with everything that you have gone through and everything that you're going through, you still come forth with a word from the I just, you know, it's just a mighty testimony on who you are and your how you serve the Lord. You know, you can't talk the talk if you're not going to walk it.
That's right. That is so true.
So you're just letting you know all of us, you know, see your walking. Talk. You're letting us see for what you're going to be going through. We will be praying. We will add on the prayer line on a daily basis. Please know that every morning you're on the prayer list. We have a prayer line from 8 to 9 every morning and making sure that that we will lift up the family, you know, and the family. So
thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Elder John, if I may, Pastor John,
yes.
I'm going on a prayer line tonight at 9 o'clock, Apostle Carolyn Logan. And every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock to around 10:30, it's called Miracle Night, Wednesday Miracle Night. And on this line, I've seen and I've heard the testimonies of people being on respirators, people being in hospice and coming out. You know, I tell you, I just thank God for being on that line. And if I may give that number out, Elder John.
Yes, sure. That's fine.
I'm sorry. Did someone, were you talking to me?
I think she's waiting to get the number. Just to give the number.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We here at New Beginnings, we have no problem with sharing anything
yes.
that, you know, that God is doing.
Yep.
You know,
amen.
We don't own, not trying to own anything. You know, we're supposed to spread it.
Yes, yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Minister Paul, you said you had the number? Minister Herman?
Who are you talking
to? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you were supposed to be giving the
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes.
Okay. Let me go back and get this.
Okay, cool.
Okay, it's 605-475-4000 605-475-4000 and the access code is it's 108-8442 108-8442 Wednesday night is Miracle Night. God bless you.
Wednesday night. Okay.
It's Miracle Night. That's tonight at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Nine o'clock. God bless
you. Thank you
God.
So much.
Thank you all. Pastor John.
I do have all the lines open. So what you're hearing is because I have all the lines open this time. Reverend Maddie, we're not going to prolong you. Thank you so much. Remember, we love you. And we will be.
All right. Love you too.
Thank you so much.
Keep you posted. All right, then. Good night.
Yeah,
bye-bye.